Welcome to These Are Good Days with Leanne Miller
and Matt Barris.
Well, Matt, this is going to be an emotional podcast.
This is. We know it is.
It is. It's going to be. It's okay.
It's okay.
It's okay. Well, you tell us your good day first.
Okay. My good day was this past weekend. I hosted a fundraiser gala with our friend Sarah Reith. For an organization that we've talked about on the podcast. It's called OHuddle, and it's all about mentoring students in our community. And what I love about this, and what I love about our friend Sarah, so Sarah actually has been a guest on the podcast twice.
She has.
We recorded with her, and we recorded something about resilience and something about mentoring. I just looked this up recently. She was in our first season. And she is a loyal podcast listener. And I am just thankful for her friendship.
She's so great.
But Sarah started an organization all about mentoring youth. And this weekend we had our fundraiser and we hosted it together and it went so well. And, you know, it's one of those things we've talked about even recently when the world feels chaotic and it feels crazy. Find places like OHuddle, wherever you live, that are doing things for the community that, that do good. Because it really is hard watching things in the news that are just big and so far away and so out there.
And even kind of feel scary sometimes.
But there is something so different when you get connected to something in your community, an organization or volunteering.
That's so good.
That where you can change the world, change your world in your community. And so it was just a reminder for me. You know, there were so many people in the room that I loved and that support OHuddle. And so many people that are part of the community that I hadn't met before. Actually, I met the mayor of Worcester this weekend.
That's awesome.
Never met him before. And so it was just great. And it's great to see the great, cool things that this nonprofit's doing in our area. So that was my good day. It was really fun. And Sarah's just a great, well-spoken person. So we had a really good time hosting it together.
That's awesome.
So, yeah.
Okay, my good day. Well, Daryl just had open heart surgery.
It's been almost two weeks ago.
11 days ago.
And
my and you know, when I think about the landscape of the last week, 10 days, you know, were there good days? No, not necessarily. Were there good moments folded in, woven into all of it? Such good days. But my good day, it really actually, I will say, I'm not going to look at you because if I look at you, I'll start crying. I might start crying anyway. But my good day, probably top five, is him walking out of that hospital. You know, he walked ahead of me and told me to put all the stuff in the wheelchair. He didn't need that thing.
That's stubborn,
said,
old man.
He said, I don't need that thing. Put the stuff in the wheelchair and push it. And I followed him out the door and he walked with enough tood that, you know, he was acting like he owned the place, but he walked out of the hospital. And I would say that was top five, one of my best moments, because it is scary. You know, when someone, you know, you want to have all the faith you can muster and you want to trust and believe God. And I know that God, his hand is upon Daryl. I know God can do anything, but that doesn't mean the outcome is going to be what I want.
Absolutely.
So for him to do so well and to walk out of the hospital and he's recovering well. And I told you this, when I first got here before we started, is that, this is the first time I've really talked to in a microphone, or I haven't talked to Instagram, to my Instagram community. I've been on Instagram,
typing and
updates and stuff, but I haven't talked because it's just, when, you know, I think part of, and I'm not going to call myself a caretaker because Daryl truly, I feel like Daryl can take care of himself, but when you're someone that's alongside one of your favorite people or one of your most important people, and they are entering into something difficult, you, what I did anyway, and I think this is probably typical, is I try to focus on all the good stories I've been told and right. all the positive things I've been told. And sure. I try to set aside or push aside the, you know, well, this could happen. This could right. go wrong in surgery. Well, he could get a blood clot. He could have some sort of bleed. Mm-hmm. He could, you know, all sure. these, all there's these different things.
Yeah.
And you, I moved that over and tried to really concentrate and focus on, you know, the good, my faith, the people around me. You know, there were people in the waiting room, all precious people in the waiting room with me who were telling stories and laughing, and we were it was really like this wonderful distraction. And then when you're home, now that I'm home, I feel like I could cry. I feel like when I talk about anything almost, I feel like I could cry. And I think it's just because all of that fear and all of the, I will say, anxiety, mm-hmm. also big surgeries like that are trauma.
Totally.
You know, the trauma of it all, it's starting to spill out.
Yeah. Well, and I think observing you for the last few weeks, I think the anticipation is sometimes the hardest part.
Oh, it was hard.
And you have to push through because there's nothing to do while you're waiting.
Yeah.
And it's like, now that it's over, it all is kind of like coming out.
Yeah.
And,
yes.
And actually, Sarah Reith, our friend that we had talked about from O'Huddle, we were on the phone the other day and she asked for an update on D, and she's like, oh, how's he doing? She asked how you were doing. And I already told you this, but I think it's funny. You know, Mallory is married to a man. I think the people listening know this about me, that I am not really a lumberjack tough guy. And our friend Sarah is married to a clinical counselor okay. who's he's a cerebral. He's like a thinker. He's similarly not a lumberjack kind of guy. But I think when you have someone in your life, like Daryl, that is a strong, he's a strong, silent type.
Oh, yeah.
He's like
strong as
fearless.
An ox. Oh, he's yeah. always been just as strong as an ox. Can yeah. fix anything, can lift anything, can move anything. Can,
right. Build
you know,
anything.
You know, if you need him to take a truck and a trailer and get and squeeze it into a tight spot, he's just that. Okay. He's just that guy. You know,
he offered those services.
He's just a man's man. He's very manly. He's very blue collar.
Sure.
He wouldn't even care if I said that. That's not, and I don't. And I think that's a compliment to working
totally,
out there.
100%.
I mean, he's strong.
Listen,
you know,
I don't want to be that person. That's not me.
And you know,
to each
we,
his own.
Every winter, before winter, he goes down and chops wood, and you know, he's just a manly man.
Yeah.
So seeing him like this has been. Really,
it's a little harrowing.
It's really hard. Like, oh. It's really hard.
It kind of takes your breath away.
And he walks kind of gingerly. I mean, he's walking. I mean, he's getting around great. But it's, you know, he you can tell he's just had surgery.
Sure, yeah. Sure. Well, Daryl is doing great.
Yes.
And he's on the other side of it.
Yeah, he is.
So today we wanted to, based off of what's been going on in your life, we talked about this in the waiting room.
Yes.
The day of Daryl's surgery, about this episode, because we knew we wanted to give an update. There have been so many people. I'm sure your Instagram mm-hmm, DMs mm-hmm. have been full.
Oh.
I've had my Instagram's been full of people checking on you that don't want to necessarily
amazing.
Reach
yeah,
out to
amazing
you.
Amazing messages.
Yeah.
Somebody you work with that lives like about a mile from me messaged me that her husband had knee replacement surgery. And she's like,
yeah.
Do you need anything? Can I get you anything? Like just really, really amazing, amazing messages.
Yeah. So many kind people. But, you know, we talked on the day of Daryl's surgery because your mind was swirling about who's in the waiting room with
mm-hmm,
us
mm-hmm.
and who's in the waiting room. So can yeah. you talk a little bit about that and us up for this awesome conversation?
I think we're in a time in our world that that we can do some life online, right? We can 100%. Spend some time online. And I'm not talking about if you're an influencer and you're creating content. I'm talking about if you're consuming content. Mm. So we can consume content and we can feel like we know people. Mm. And we can feel like we're friends with people. That's right. And we can feel like we're connected to people. But those people are not going to be in your waiting room.
Yeah, that's right.
So I you know, the day of the surgery, for me, it was super, I'm an Enneagram 7. So that people connection and just having people there is really important to my mm-hmm. personality. And so there was a waiting room full, just, I'm not going to say full, but there was a waiting room of people who I have done life with
yeah.
for a lot of years. And it just was like in front of my face, like, who is in your waiting room?
Right.
Like, take inventory of your life, look around, and who's in your waiting room? Who's going to be in your waiting room if you have major surgery?
Right.
Who's going to be in your waiting room if your partner, your child has surgery? Who is in your waiting room? Because let me tell you, it is an important question to ask
yeah.
because when that time comes, if and when that time comes, those are the people you're leaning on. Like, I had nothing. I had nothing to give. I had nothing. It was the people in the room that were really literally like holding me up. Were there people online doing that too? Absolutely. But
totally.
They were not in the waiting room.
Totally.
Our friend, our sweet, sweet friend, Haircut Box Ashley, sent you $100 to buy everybody coffee in the waiting room yeah. or to use it however you deem necessary to help us through the day.
Aaron Moon sent you a message.
Aaron Moon sent me money. My childhood girlfriends from Virginia
yeah.
sent Venmo'd our son $200 and said, buy breakfast, buy lunch, do whatever's needed for Leanne and Dee,
right.
you know, while they're there. And all of that is so important, but paramount, so important,
right.
are the flesh and blood people sitting in that waiting room with you,
yeah,
holding you up, caring about you, telling stories, really being the presence there just to help you pass. I mean, he was in surgery for 3.5 hours. The doctor said it would be between 3 and 4 hours. And it was 3.5 on the dot. And y'all were there the whole time. And
you know, I was thinking about it. I was thinking about the waiting room because I was there, and that's not like a brag. That's not like I was there. But I was in the room, and when I was thinking about this episode, you know, this episode starts a long time ago for me.
Right. Right.
Starts in the moments of friendship.
Right.
20 years ago, 18 years ago, I think that's 18 is where we are right now. It starts in little moments of friendship that build over time. It starts when, you know, I'm going to cry too.
I know.
It starts when I get a leak in my, I'm a single guy and I get a leak. And who do I call? Daryl. You know, it's when you guys needed me to do something for your kids.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
me picking up your kids from school yeah. when you couldn't do it. It starts in
remember
those little
things.
Remember
when you got stuck in our driveway?
Oh my gosh.
And
actually,
almost hit Selena. Missy and Selena.
She told me that story. But then it also, you know, fast forward to when my son had a 12-hour surgery and we were all sitting in the waiting room. Who showed up with food? It was you. And then
I brought my coffee machine.
You sure did. And then fast forward to this moment, and you know, I was there for you. And so I think something we need to think about is your waiting room yeah. people. It just doesn't happen in crisis.
No,
it happens years. There's yes. little deposits that you're making over
yeah.
time
yeah.
that become your people.
And really, there are people. Who are you investing in? You need,
yeah.
to invest, Wilma, in our counselor cluster.
Yeah.
Wilma texted me and said, hey, make me a list of groceries and I'm gonna get you groceries.
Yeah.
And so she dropped them off the day after we were home from surgery. She dropped them off and I just stood in the driveway and cried. I'm like, just thank you so much. She said, Leah, she said, you know, your friends are doing for you what you have done for your friends.
That's right.
And I'm like, I know, but I mean, I, okay. But it's, it, you don't feel that way when it's happening. You right. don't feel like, well, they're doing this for me because I've done things right. for them. You, that's not how you feel. You feel like so loved and so cared for and so supported because they wouldn't, you wouldn't have to do it.
Right.
They
right.
wouldn't have to do it, you know, absolutely. Period. And, you know, I also have been thinking about, you know, we want, you know, and I'll use my dad as an example. May he rest in peace. But my dad did not invest a lot in his relationship with his kids. Right. He didn't. And so when the time came that he needed people, nobody really wanted to exercise that kind of care because it was never given to us.
Right.
So the feeling, that feeling of doing it back for him just wasn't present.
Right.
So I'm not saying that that's the only reason you invest in people, sure. but it does work both ways.
Sure.
Like it is like something, where you have the urge to want to do something for someone who has blessed your life. And
absolutely.
I feel very humbled. I feel very, very loved and very supported. I mean, Missy, our friend Missy Junk Babe, from Breakfast Club, Missy from Breakfast Club brought homemade enchiladas for dinner and had this little, bowl of Mexican rice. And I lifted the lid and she had this little jalapeno like nestled in the center, just like so intentional. And I just am like, you know, I have such incredible people and such incredible friends that know, they also know how to love me, mm-hmm. right? Nobody is buying me like, you know, a designer person dropping it off. The people are bringing me food. I mean, right. Sarah Reith left a basket of just beautiful things right at the front door. Oh, Trisha Pycraft, our friend Trisha, she has been such a blessing. She sent, I mean, stuff from Trader Joe's. She sent soup. She sent mac and cheese. And, you know, and
what's different than food is our friends Roxy and Berta were cleaning your house while you were at the hospital.
They came and cleaned my house and vacuumed and organized.
That stuff matters
so much.
And they
took some of my laundry to their house and folded it and brought it back. And I just, I think that also along with this, I was thinking about this yesterday. You know, often we overcomplicate love and caring for someone.
Absolutely.
And don't, if you have close friends, I mean, now I'm talking about somebody that you love, you've been in their life, you care for, and you want, and you hear of something they're going through. Let's say it's a divorce. Let's say their kid broke their leg, or they had a house fire, or their basement flooded. Don't say, I heard what happened. Let me know if I can do anything. No,
right.
You say, give me a list of groceries. I'm going to go pick them up.
Right.
Or you send something to the house.
Right.
Today, this beautiful orchid came from the girls that I went to Aruba with last
yeah.
year that were new friends.
Yeah.
That with this beautiful note. And, you know, don't ask people to let you know if you need anything.
Right.
It just doesn't work that way.
Right. Their minds are not in a place.
No. And also, it feels very weird when you're already, okay, I'll say it this way because I'm experiencing it. When you already feel vulnerable,
yeah.
you already feel like vulnerable and weak and emotional, one of the last things that you want to do is go, now who was that that texted me and said, if I needed anything to
right.
let them know, I'm not going to text them and be like, hey, you know, you said, if I need anything, could you order
right.
us some Chinese takeout?
Right.
Bring it over. You're just, it's just not going to happen. Instead,
right.
you say, hey, we would love to order Chinese takeout for you. What meals would you like?
Yeah. Or tell me a night. Yeah.
Right.
Totally.
Your mom called today and,
yeah.
and she was like, I'd like to bring dinner. What night works for you? And I'm like, well, we've got a refrigerator full and there's just two of us. If we could do it this weekend. And she was asking me what we were hungry for. And I was like, Francine, whatever you want to make us. And don't you know, Daryl piped up and said, well, that breaded pork and butter noodles that she makes, I remember being real good. And I'm like, yeah. Well, look at you, Daryl Miller.
That's awesome.
So, I mean, I think you say, I want to do this for you. What day works? Yeah. Or I want to have this delivered to your house. Will you be home? Because the people in the place of vulnerability and challenge are not going to tell you the things that they need.
Yeah. When we were in the waiting room together, I was thinking about, and I've been thinking about since then, is, you know, when you look around a waiting room with someone, often there's people that bring different things to our lives.
Right, right, right. That's good.
So we all, when I was thinking about the specific people in the room and the energy that was in the room and what it felt like. And, you know, there's, when we're supporting people, we all have different roles that we play. We all, you know, you've mentioned different gifts that people have that they've brought. But, you know, I think we sometimes think it has to look a certain way, but we just need to bring ourselves.
It's so true.
You know, for some people, when we were sitting together, there was a lot of reminiscing because we were people, we hadn't seen each other. Yes. Some of the people in the room for a while.
Daryl's sister was there, who was so nice having her there.
Yeah.
Because she's a nurse, and I noticed you talking with her for a while. Yeah. And I was like, oh, that's so great, because you do go way back with
her. Yeah. I've known her since I've known you guys, but I don't see her very often.
Right, right.
You know, there's the people in the room that are keeping you laughing in moments of grief or when things are hard.
Right.
There's people that are taking care of you and reminding you to drink water.
Right.
You know, your son Joey was sweet. Oh, he kept rubbing your back and squeezing your shoulders and saying, how you doing, Mom?
Yes, I know. Yeah.
And then, you know, there's Wilma kept us laughing. Yes. And, you know, our friend Mel was telling stories. And, you know, when you think about the people that are in the room, I think sometimes we think it's uncomfortable to support someone, or we have to sit and be serious.
It's true.
And sure, there's a time and a place for that. But just showing up is half.
Well, someone said to me, and I thought, oh, this needs said out loud to people. Is she said, you know, I've learned something through this whole thing. And it was somebody that was in the room, the waiting room. And she said, often I hold back being there because I think, oh, I don't want to impose.
Right.
I'm not family. She's like, but what I saw is that everybody there that was there needed to be there.
Right.
And so I think when you hear of someone having major, especially major scary surgery, you say, hey, what hospital? I'd love to come to the waiting room. And, you know, Missy, who brought the enchiladas, she was in the waiting room. And what was so wonderful with her is her husband just had quadruple bypass surgery within this last year. And so that was really, I mean, I've actually even texted her a couple times because of different things, because of her experience. And, you know, so if you have somebody in the room that has that experience, it's really wonderful. Teddy's fiance, MG, our daughter-in-law is what I call her, but she is someone who's like, let me go run. I'm going to go.
Give me a job.
She's like, I'm going to go find a great bakery with great coffee. And she went and got us beautiful pastries and a beautiful breakfast. And it just felt like we were cared for.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I think sometimes we hold back because you said we don't want to impose, or we think we're being like in the way.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or maybe
we're not, we feel like, well, are we close enough friends?
Yeah.
Or we're not family. Or what if it feels weird and it's like dad and two brothers and then it's me there? It's okay.
Yeah. And here's what I'll say. If you get the vibe or the urge to do something, read the room and figure out what to do
next.
Because listen, there are situations where you might show up with a box of Krispy Kremes and say, I just wanted to drop this off.
100%.
And then there might be where you show up with Krispy Kremes and everybody's like, stay. Oh,
yeah, exactly. You
know, it's really hard. Don't talk yourself out of it. I think we talk ourselves out of that type of support too much.
I agree. And then when everyone left, well, the boys didn't leave, but when like you and Mel and Wilma and Laura and Missy, when all of you left and it was Teddy, Joey and I, Miriam, Wilma had talked to Miriam, my mentor Miriam, and asked her to come later in the afternoon.
Yeah.
And that was really, really just, it just felt like I wasn't alone.
Sure.
And it just felt good. And, sure. And even for, I think the boys even felt supported, because it also is a strange dynamic when you are the parent and then your adult kids are there and we're all a little bit freaking out.
Right.
So it's like,
right.
Who's supporting who here? Right. Like, right. Who's right. being the strong one, right? Right?
Well, you know, what was really cool is your boys stepped into an opportunity really to care did. For you and Daryl.
They really did. And, you know something that I won't forget anytime too soon is the day after Daryl's surgery, we're all sitting in his room. And there was only supposed to be two people in the room, but, you know, sorry, Suma and Nakra. And it was myself, Teddy, Joey, and MG. There were four of us in the room. Yeah. But I think with those type settings and those type things, they're gracious if everything is smooth in the room and it's not too chaotic.
Right.
So we were just in the room and Joey said, out of the blue, Joey said, "Hey guys, I really don't like walking down this hallway, you know, in the ICU unit." And it was the heart and lung unit. And I said, "Oh, why?" And he said, "Because so many of the rooms, the people are alone."
Yeah.
And he said, "It just makes me sad."
Right.
And he's like, "There's only one other room that I have seen visitors."
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, that is a sad reality. That's right. Reality. I was the fifth day that Daryl was there, because he was ready to go on day four. Actually, to tell you the truth,
he would have went home
the day after surgery. He looks at me and he says, "I'm ready to go home." I said, "Honey, I mean, first of all, he's on morphine and oxy." He looks at me and he says, "I'm ready to go home." And I said, "You have chest tubes in and oxygen on. You cannot go home."
Right.
But on day five, you know, and this is another thing, and maybe this is a different podcast and we can talk about these type things later, but it is so important to have an advocate. It's so, you know, even when you have great care, we had great care, we had great nurses, our surgeons incredible, but to have someone that sees something like, "Can we change the pillowcases? They haven't been changed. Mm-hmm. And there's blood on this one. Can we change the pillowcases? Can I get him a new pair of socks?" And I did this. I said, can I get him another pair of socks? He's had those on for 3 days.
Yeah.
And so the morning of day five, I said, I noticed there was a shower in the hallway. Could we get him a shower?
Yeah.
It just, he would feel so much better. And when he was getting a shower, I stepped out of the room so we could shower. And I heard the man in the room next door calling different people to pick him up. And I'm like, oh my goodness, there's nobody even here when he's ready to go to pick him up. I mean, it's just a reality of relationships and people. Yeah. And it really speaks to the importance of community and investing in your relationships and your friends.
100%. You know, you had talked, I don't know all the places you've told this, but you've talked about the difference of people's recovery with having a support system and having visitors what that looks like and the outlook that it puts on people. Can you give us like the cliff notes of that story?
I wrote about it on Instagram stories, is that, you know, I've always felt like, I've always wondered about the connection between healing and human connection. Mm. And Daryl's aunt, Maddie, who is Amish, had bypass surgery. And she was at the hospital. We were in her room visiting her, and the surgeon came in and he said, "You know, I don't think I have ever seen someone with this many visitors." Mm-hmm. "You have had visitors in and out of this room every day you've been here. I've never seen anything like it." He's like, you've had so many visitors. And I said to him, I have a question. And he's like, yeah. I said, "How important do you think that is?" And he said, what is? I said, human connection and people caring for the person, for the patient, visitors, human connection and healing. And he said, it's everything. And I'm like, "What, really?" And he's like, "Yeah, I've got a great example right now." He said, "The guy across the hall had a very serious heart procedure, and he and the guy next, the room next to you, are in very similar physical overall health.
Yeah.
The guy across the hall had a serious procedure done. His wife brings him a cup of coffee every morning and reads out loud the paper to him. She sits with him all day. He has visitors in and out. He is leaving tomorrow, within a week. The guy in the room next door to you had a simple procedure done, and it has been 3 weeks, and he is not, and he's still not ready to, he's still not healthy enough and ready to go home.
Yeah.
He said it means everything when a person feels needed, they feel loved, they feel supported. It completely means everything to the totally. Healing process.
Well, and I think what I took away from that is, you know, when you're telling yourself, and maybe this is like my like food for thought end of the show.
You always thinking, say parting shot.
My parting like shot. My parting shot is, you know, we can talk ourselves out of supporting people, and we can even talk ourselves out of asking people to be in the waiting room. You know, we get those whispers that are like, oh, I don't want to.
Oh, and let's face it, we're all busy.
Yeah. Well, and I think as the person who is on the receiving end of it, you're like, oh, I don't want to bother people to see if anyone can come.
Right, right.
And on the other end of it, we can think, like you said, I'm not close enough. Am I going to be in the way? What am I going to even do there? But here's the alternative. The alternative is an empty waiting room.
Right.
So, you know, I would much rather be on the end of let's fill the waiting room and leave if it feels like
too full.
There's too much going on.
Right.
Or, you know, I'm in the way, or maybe it's too serious. I'd rather err on the side of support than have people that I love sitting in an empty waiting room.
Right.
Curious about where everybody was.
Right.
Or when someone does need a cup of coffee, no one's there to help them. Or, exactly. You know, those kind of things.
Right, exactly.
And so I think as I think about this, and my encouragement to people is err on the side of being there.
Yeah.
Err on the, you know, because
And to your point, if it feels awkward, text the person and say, hey, I'd like to get a Starbucks order of the people waiting with you in the
right.
room.
Right.
And I'd like to drop off Starbucks.
Right.
Or I would like to get Dunkin' Donuts and drop off donuts. And that is easy.
Yep.
If you feel any kind of awkwardness.
Yeah. And then drop it off and leave. If it doesn't feel right or if this is uncomfortable or new territory for you, maybe that's a way to start.
Right. Or if you're out of state, this is something that several people did for us, and it just was so thoughtful. I mean, like 2 or 3 days in, Matt, when you're at the hospital and I'm sleeping in the recliner, and I went home twice in the 6 days to shower while somebody was with him. So I would leave when somebody was sitting there, and people would text or even DM and say, hey, what's your email? I want to send you a Starbucks gift card.
Yeah.
And because there was a Starbucks in the hospital.
Right.
And that was just such a lovely gesture.
Right.
If another thing that somebody did that was so sweet, let me look it up, is somebody on my Instagram that had experienced a surgery with her husband sent me a list of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 scriptures, all about trusting in God, all about if you're anxious, if you're fearful, do not let your heart be troubled, but believe in me. Cast all your cares on him, for he cares for you. When anxiety was great within me, your consolation brought me joy. She sent me 10 verses to, and I read them over and over and over. So you can do thoughtful things like that. If you 100%. Can't be in the waiting room, Ashley from Haircut Box, she lives in
Idaho.
Like she couldn't be here, but she did something. She did a gesture that was so caring and so thoughtful, and I'm so appreciative.
Yeah.
So there are things you could do if you can't be there physically.
Absolutely.
But I think a good question to ask, you know, no matter what season of life you're in, you could be 65, but it's a good question to ask who's going to be in your waiting room.
Absolutely. Hey,
let's talk about food. Ooh, ooh. What a transition.
I'm posing. Here's how we're going to talk about food today. And here's what I want to ask. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. as someone mm-hmm. who is holed up in their home with a man recovering.
Yeah.
And it's in the middle of winter.
Yeah.
If you were to put together a meal from Walnut Creek Foods, listen, maybe there's someone listening that's our friend.
Oh, I'll tell you right now.
What would your perfect comfort food surgery recovery meal from Walnut Creek Foods look like?
I'm not going to do meal. Let me revise this. When Wilma texted me, send me a grocery list, she went to Walnut Creek Cheese. And if Matt Keeler would have known, he would have said, you put those groceries on my tab. Yeah. That's just who they are.
Yeah.
And so I did a list of Walnut Creek Cheese of what I wanted from there.
Yeah.
And some of the items were from their deli. They have such an incredible deli there, such incredible deli meats. I know you're going to know one of the deli meats that I got.
Sweet Lebanon bologna.
Yes, sweet Lebanon bologna, and Daryl has loved it. So I got eggs. They have wonderful eggs there. Mm-hmm. They have a local company called Sauter Eggs is there, but also there is another like Farm Fresh egg distributor they have there. So I did eggs. I did cheese. Their Swiss cheese there is just fantastic. There's 6-grain bread. I put 6-grain bread on the list. It's so good. And then some different fruits like strawberries, blueberries, bananas right now there are just beautiful.
Yeah.
And some fresh ground peanut butter. You know, they have a machine there that they have honey roasted peanuts in a machine and regular roasted salted peanuts in a machine. And you can just literally flip a button and draw out fresh peanut butter. It's so good. So really it was a great place for me to construct a list for Wilma to pick up, and they just have such great product there.
Yes.
And awesome. Their prices are so good.
Absolutely. Hey, well, thank you so much for joining us in this conversation all about The Waiting Room. Whether ordinary or extraordinary, we hope you see that these are good days.
This episode brought to you by Walnut Creek Foods.